Support is provided by the Red Stag Supper Club, serving lunch and dinner 7 days a week and brunch on weekends, focusing on locally farmed ingredients and featuring a Friday night fish fry. RedStagSupperClub.com.
From Minnesota Public Radio, this is Grammar Grader. It's the podcast about words, grammar, and usage for the information age. This week's episode, awesome. Acronymic words encode some obscure matters easily.
Wow, this is quite a surprise.
Well, I thought we'd come to a nice restaurant for our anniversary.
Aren't you worried it's a bit too posh?
Oh, maybe, but so what? You know, this is a celebration. By the way, do you know where that word posh comes from?
I thought we were celebrating.
No, this is interesting. You'll like this. Posh actually comes from steamship days when wealthy passengers would request a stateroom on the port side on the first leg of the journey and the starboard side for the return. Port out, starboard home. P-O-S-H. Posh. Posh. How about that, huh?
Honey, I don't really think that's true.
Good evening.
Thank goodness.
Are we ready to order?
Well, we are. I didn't realize you were ordering, too.
Harold, be nice.
Oh, it's okay. Do you have any questions about the menu?
No questions about the menu, but here's an interesting thing. Have you heard that the word tip, you know, like waiter's tip, is from an abbreviation for to ensure promptness?
I don't think that's true, sir. First of all, you're suggesting an acronym.
And an acronym?
Acronym. Acronyms are a newer form of word formation. I believe the word tip entered English from Old Norse a really long time ago.
Wow, you're a very interesting waiter.
I also act.
This week, we're going to talk about a special type of word formation called an acronym. According to the Bloomsbury Grammar Guide by Gordon Jarvie, an acronym is an abbreviation pronounced as if it were a single word. The classic example is this.
The abbreviation for self-contained underwater breathing apparatus is S-C-U-B-A, giving us the word scuba.
Other examples include
radar, which comes from radio, detection, and ranging.
NATO, which comes from North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
AIDS, which comes from autoimmune deficiency syndrome.
UNESCO, which comes from United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization.
Yuppie, which comes from Young Urban Professional.
Now, sometimes the term acronym is inaccurately applied to abbreviations that are not really acronyms. According to Fowler's Modern English Usage,
the test of a true acronym is often assumed to be that it should be pronounceable as a word within the normal word patterns of English.
Therefore, abbreviations such as FBI, VCR, and IBM are not really acronyms because each letter is pronounced separately. They're called simply abbreviations or initialisms. Now, it turns out that acronyms, that is, using initials to form pronounceable words, is a fairly recent method of forming words. Here to talk to us about this is linguist and author Michael Quinion. He joins us by telephone today from his office in the West Country of England. Welcome back to Grammar Grader, Michael.
Pleased to be here. Glad to be back.
So can you give us the condensed history of acronyms?
Well, they're surprisingly modern. The first ones that we know about are really 20th century. Most of the early ones are military. For example, the one that is usually given as the first example that's created as a pronounceable word is AWOL, A-W-O-L, absent without leave. Now, that has been recorded from around the time of the American Civil War, but it only started to be pronounced as a word, as far as we know, around about the time of the First World War. Most of them appeared in the early years of the Second World War, early 1940s. Things like sonar and radar, words like this, which are military abbreviations which were turned into pronounceable words for various bits of new technology. The term acronym itself is Second World War in origin. It's first recorded in early 1943 in an edition of American Notes and Queries, and it seems fairly definitely to be itself coming out of the military research labs because they needed a term to describe words like sonar and radar. So they created acronym from Greek words meaning the tip and the name. It's akros, the tip or topmost part of something, plus onyma, which is name. So we're talking about acronym is a word formed from the tips or the beginning bits of other words.
Now, if acronyms didn't become popular until the 20th century, what do you say about stories that people like to tell, such as the word cop coming from an abbreviation meaning constable on patrol?
I tend to chuckle a little bit when I hear these. There are a lot of them. Some of them are extremely rude. But, for example, there's tip, as in the small sum of money you give to a waiter or someone like that, which is often said to stand for to ensure promptness. The thing about all of these is that they are essentially filling a vacuum, partly because the words themselves that are supposedly being explained are actually quite difficult to explain quickly in terms of their etymology, but also because the pseudo-explanations as acronyms are themselves memorable, that they're funny, they're surprising. They suggest that the explainer has access to some kind of private or secret knowledge. And altogether, they're a really neat way of explaining the origins of words. The fact is that none of them are correct. None of them are correct. I repeat this because there really is no truth in COP for Constable on Patrol or TIP to ensure promptness. A lot of them, in fact, are actually invented. No one, I think, really ever believed that golf stands for gentlemen only, ladies forbid. It's just a joke, but it plays itself on the idea that there are a lot of words in the English language which do come from acronyms. And in fact, before the 20th century, they really are unknown.
So generally speaking, whenever we hear a story that attributes a word origin to an acronym and that story takes place prior to the beginning of the 20th century, should we pretty much consider that a tall tale?
No, people hadn't got the trick of it. It just wasn't in their minds to create words in this way. And it really wasn't until the Second World War, until we started to get all these military acronyms for new technologies, that the idea began to catch on. And of course, today there's an absolute flood of it. Now, those kinds of terms are now everywhere. NATO and SARS and all these words, they're all acronyms and they're everywhere in our language. But if you went back to, say, 1930, you would find perhaps one or two, no more than that.
Thanks for joining us today, Michael.
You're very welcome.
So strictly speaking, a pronounceable word derived from initials is called an acronym. Sets of standalone letters are called initialisms. But given the popularity of the word acronym, some dictionaries and even Fowler's Modern English usage have become somewhat forgiving.
The limitations of the term being not widely known to the general public, acronym is also often applied to abbreviations that are familiar but are not pronounceable as words.
It should be noted that a good deal of serendipity and creativity goes into the making of some acronyms. For example, the non-smoking organization Action on Smoking and Health goes by the appropriate acronym ASH. Or the organization Students Against Destructive Decisions, a group that campaigns against underage drinking, illegal drug use, and teen violence, is known by its acronym, SAD. And the items handed out to people at conventions is collectively referred to as SWAG, which stands for Stuff We All Get. But an example of a not-so-good acronym comes from The Simpsons.
Springfieldians for Nonviolence, Understanding, and Helping, or SNA.
In the end, it's probably best to restrict the term acronym to those abbreviations you can say as a single word. Abbreviations where each letter is pronounced individually, such as DVD, USA, NHL, or EU, are more accurately called initialisms. And if someone offers you a tale about the origin of a word and the explanation happens to include an acronym, it's best to take that story with a grain of salt.
Salt? As in strategic arms limitation talks?
Nope, just normal salt.
Ah. So, MSG is just an abbreviation, not an acronym?
That's right, sir, and I can assure you none of our food contains MSG.
Oh, excellent.
So that's two green salads, one vegetable lasagna, and one grilled salmon with the asparagus.
That is correct.
Very good, sir.
While we're waiting for our food, I thought I'd give you your anniversary present.
Really? A present? How nice. Hey, a book, Bunkaroo Ballyhoo and Spuds, by Michael Quinion.
Now you'll know the truth about where some of those words come from.
Oh, yeah, and you know how much I like words.
I do.
Well, this is a great anniversary present, honey. Thanks.
We're going down, down, down.
This has been Grammar Grader from Minnesota Public Radio. Source material for this episode comes from the Bloomsbury Grammar Guide by Gordon Jarvie, and from Fowler's Modern English Usage by R.W. Birchfield. Special thanks to Michael Quinion for joining us today. Quinion is the author of several books on the English language, and he maintains the website worldwidewords.org. His book, Gallimaufry, A Hodgepodge of Our Vanishing Vocabulary, is coming out in paperback in the U.S. and will soon be available through publicradiomarket.org. Thanks as always to the Grammatis Personae players, Julia Schrenkler, Dale Connolly, and Tom Weber. Our producer is Brett Baldwin. Executive producer is John Pearson. I'm Luke Taylor. Thanks for listening. And if you like Grammar Grader, visit MinnesotaPublicRadio.org to check out other programs and podcasts. Don't you